the road department. So that's my angle. I appreciate your time. I've got pictures. Go and look at some pretty important pictures. And you're welcome to use them.
I think we can definitely add that in. We have a partner with HGR Engineering where we have projects listed that you can do, you know, do the studies on and pull past accident data.
Yeah.
And we can definitely get that, see if we can make that fit into the matrix and get it, get that set and going.
How does this that?
M Highway.
About 3 miles down.
I've got a couple of accident reports.
Yeah. I left pretty well. My great grandfather homesteaded that place.
One state trooper says it's 10 miles east of Kissimmee Mills. The other state trooper says it's 15. So one of them's a number.
That would be within 5 miles.
Well, I've never said it's about 3.5 miles when you travel from M Highway. 3 miles
old, around the 94. Yeah, right where you cross Stabs and across Cedar. Okay. Bottom of the 20 Miller Hill.
Yep, that little water spot. You come up and make that bend, that hurts pretty bad.
And you're recommending a guardrail is what's going on?
I've recommended a guardrail. I mean, I got to get a little humble pie because I referenced that Silver Hollow and Grace Hill, which is your best territory.
Yeah, that's Josh.
And I didn't realize that it goes to state road, it comes county road, so I kind of jumbled everything together, so I apologize. And I referenced it simply because there's a 25-mile-an-hour section road on Brace Hill that has, and I measured with my cars, about 550 feet of guardrail, and very similar telemetry, if not identical telemetry, from, in comparison to the in-highway location. And that being said, that's a 25-mile-an-hour road. So my question to Ms. Schauer was, what engineering decisions went into putting that guardrail there? Was it an engineering decision for public safety, or was it an engineering decision because of a plethora of accidents there? That's a valid question.
And nobody to cut you off, but what you do get into there, a little bit of a difference on that of on Brace Hill, and I go right where you're talking about, you know, that same corner of the rolls, that's a county road as opposed to, you know,
right.
M Highway being a state highway, and not saying that it's not necessary down there, but that's what, you know, it seems that, you know, sometimes stuff's a little easier for things to happen on the county roads for us.
Right, you got a little less bureaucratic red tape, I understand. And I think that after my discussion with Ms. Schaller, however you say her name, I guess from a citizen's viewpoint, just a dumb old citizen out there, just a taxpayer from the woods. She had said that she needed more data. And that to me is just like saying that, well, I need more people to get hurt and more people to get killed before we make a decision. So that's, to me, that's just unacceptable.
Well, that's something we can definitely do here through HDR is, get the data pulled on what has, you know, people right. with.
Yeah, I've got this recent accident. Keith had talked to me about other accidents that he had seen there. I've also got my son's accident information. And I know that the state's going to put the flag in there for driving conditions versus wet roads. And this one on the 20th of December was ice. I had to, just because I'm one of those guys, I'm fairly thorough. I had to look up the definition of guardrail. You'd be surprised. It's pretty interesting. It basically states it's designed to keep the vehicle on its wheels. If that isn't a self-explanatory description of safety, I don't know what it is. I'm a 15-year veteran of the railroad. I'm president of the union. I'm very familiar with the way meetings run. We operate a meeting almost identical to the way you do. So in that capacity, safety. And if you have any idea what the railroad does, safety is top of the conversation every single day. And it's not just our safety, it's public safety. How much tonnage are we running? How many miles an hour are we down to run? What's the speed in the curves? And you've always got somebody reminding you in the cab. And you can't put a price on that safety. If any of you are familiar with lag mechanic, when the train ran around, burned that town, it killed a lot of innocent people. And that's why safety's out there, because we have protocol we have to follow. And it's always, if not every single time, as a result of tragedy, that we enforce new rules, new laws, new protocol. So, this is a tragedy. So, it's my simple plea, I guess, to try to get some guardrail on the spot to prevent somebody else from having to endure what we do every day. Appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Well, you're still here, Mr. Wells. I've got a couple of thoughts here. I don't know. I'm looking at everybody on the board, but we're going to look into this. We're going to move forward with this. We're going to make a difference. So you just start with that. I'm going to tell you two things. The reason the lettered routes aren't maintained very well. Anybody? MoDOT hasn't had a fuel tax increase, which is how they get their money, since 1999. So if you want to start making a difference, besides talking to this group, talk to your legislator, I think it'll be Travis Smith, will probably be your guy. And Mike Moon will be your senator. And tell them that there's got to be, at least in my words to them this month, is we have to get serious about this funding. So, because the first thing the MoDOT's going to come back and say is, we get this. Now, buddy, I'm assuming you've been to these, Randy, you've been to these too. We go to these MoDOT prioritization things, and I will tell you, it will break your heart when person, and this is state level, after person comes up and tells your story. Everywhere. A great number of them are lettered routes. And they've been taken off of the priority list at all. There isn't even, many of them are not maintained on a regular basis. And it's a dollar and cents. Are we placing dollars and cents on people's lives? No. We're setting priorities on how we feel about highway, and their number one priority is safety. And so the roundabout thing is, we want them to be safe. We just don't want to give them any money to respond to these kinds of things. But let me tell you, when you go to those meetings, when you're done, you're, at least for me personally, I almost hate to come up and talk about my project, because it pales in comparison to people that have lost both their kids on a bridge, or this, that, and the other thing. And you come back and they say, well, who else out of the fatalities we've had, who else wants to give up their priority and we'll fix this one? Because, and normally you would say, well, they're getting funded and they're coming along and they're just saying this. Except that we went into this last round with $1 billion in MoDOT assets in their, I'll say savings account because it's simple, but their operating fund. We're down to $300 million. $300 million could be one bridge project on the Mississippi. And we have nothing. There is no road maintenance. There is no anything. And so all I'm asking you or appealing to you is to the people that wrote those letters and that, write one more. Write those to your legislators. Get on the website. It automatically, when you type them in, says, speak to Travis, and you just start typing. And tell them. Tell them that story.
Yeah.
And that will, we don't want to do these things in a series where we work on it and then we're done and you work on it. But we want to do parallel stuff. Everybody needs to be on this all the time. And until we get serious, we're so proud that we pay 3 or 4 cents or less for our gas around here than anybody else, or Missouri does. And those pennies that we're saving are these lives that are lost because of trying to figure out how we can fund this stuff. So, any one given project, can they fix M Highway? Yes, they can. problem is, and intellectually we know this, in our heart it's a little different. There's M highways in every single 114 counties of this state, and all of them have those stores. So that doesn't make it any easier or any better, and you've got our commitment that we're going to move forward with this. But also, we're asking you, you help us with some heavy lifting here with the legislators.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Being in the union, I can't tell you, membership is 110% either success or failure. And attendance in meetings is the same thing, because that's the people that want to be involved. So that's not a problem. I have no problem talking to senators.
Well, it's important for everybody. And a lot of times, when you talk about funding a MoDOT, somebody will recount the time when they saw two highway workers sitting on the side of the road eating a sandwich or whatever. Or they striped the highway. This was the Lyle Rowland story. They striped the highway one day and then they paved it the next and went over the top of the stripes. Okay, granted. I mean, it happens.
Yep.
That is no reason. You handle that on a case-by-case basis. That's no reason to not fund safety improvements because they didn't manage a specific project well. And the other 125, they handled very well. So, for whatever that's worth, yes, and if you take a look, and what we'll do before you get out of here is let you take a look at one of these rating sheets on that so that you can see how the system, what is important, what isn't important, and how they're ranked. And you'll see that safety is a significant part of the ranking on those sheets. The sheets that we use are deliberately designed to look just like the ones the state uses, so that when we go to competition with everybody else for these dollars, it's easy for the state to look at and understand it.
Be transparent. Yeah.
So, sure. Again,
we want to thank you for coming in so that we know there's a problem and we can get it on there. I mean, most of us weren't aware of it.
Ignorance is bliss, I guess, when you start realizing there's a dynamic to everything in the process, and it's not always simple. So I'm in it for the long haul. So that's just what it is.
Someone else may have better, Travis may have, than I, but I think it's about 2 years ago, MoDOT was pushing a bill to turn the letter roads over to the county. Remember that? And it, what stopped it is there's so many counties were blessed that are poor than Tane that simply could not maintain them.
If that bill were passed, they automatically went to the county, all letter roads.
Yeah, that was their solution. In the 30s, they took all the letter routes in from the counties in exchange for support for a gasoline tax originally. And now their solution was, well, we'll just give them all right back to the counties for nothing or for almost nothing. And luckily that got stopped, but it comes up about as often as anytime as they're talking about funding, somebody always goes, well, let's just give half the roads to these people that don't have any money either, and then we'll walk away from the table.
Those of us that work with streets know that if you do something on the MoDOT route, you have to also enter into a road relinquishment agreement for an equal number of miles. When we do this expressway, if we do it to federal standards and we do it in the right order and construct it and get federal dollars, they're going to make us take over more routes. You know what? So be it. At some particular point in time, but obviously we have no more money than they do. We can tell you that not only is the state going broke, the Federal Highway Trust Fund has not been in once in the last, I'm going to say six renditions of it, only once has been extended for 5 years. The rest of the time it operates off of a continuing resolution. MoDOT got, and I hesitate to even say the number, but let's use an example that they got $120 million to be used between October 1st and January 30th. They got that from the federal.